And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be cooking up some home fries here in just a minute. Let me get a few texts out of the way. Let's see what we got here. John from Brownsboro. He says, Biden is so corrupt. The largest cattle ranch in Texas doesn't produce as much BS as he does. Oh, boy. He says the only way he won in 2020 and the only chance he has in 2024 is to stay indoors and close his mouth. And if he impounds John Kerry's jet as well, he will do more to help the environment than anything else he's done. Wow. All right. Give it to us straight there, John from Brownsboro. How do you feel? Wayne from Falkville. He says, hey, Phil, one weekend I got to do services for Scarlett Johansson in, personal security detail services for Scarlett Johansson in Kuwait during a USO tour. That's very cool. I hope she was as nice in real life. And about, I'm glad she was over there in Kuwait seeing troops. That's pretty cool. What else we got here? David from Huntsville. Any help to Trump is worse for the country. More chance Trump wins the primary, we lose the general election. So David from Huntsville is not a Trump fan, apparently. I got a first-time texter coming in. We need a name, and I see you're from Huntsville, but where are you from? Do what?
Cody from Huntsville.
Oh, it is Cody. Okay. All right. Cody from Huntsville. Glad you're in the string there. I see the name now. He says, Hunter would be smart if he went ahead and pleaded guilty and no contest so his daddy could yet again pull him out of all of his troubles. But looking how this country is ran, I don't think any Biden is that smart. Hey, glad you're in the tech strings there. Cody from Huntsville, glad you're on board. All right, Boomer, you got some home fries to cook up for me there, brother? We're going to do it. We're going to jump in. Every once in a while, we scan the news. We recognize how much is going on around our hometowns, right here in our backyards, and we just have to cook up a little batch of home fries. Oh, yeah. And now I'm hungry. So at the gate, I'll tell you, I'll just remind you, this is news for Alabama. So I served in the state Senate for 8 years, and a number of the men and women that I served with in the legislature are still there, one of whom is State Senator Tim Melson, who represents from the Florence area up near the Shoals. And apparently a number of our state legislators, including Melson and I believe Senator Arthur Orr and a few, and Senator Keith Kelly from Anniston area, they were in South Korea on a trip to recruit businesses and that kind of thing. And apparently Tim Melson, State Senator Tim Melson, had a heart attack while he's there. So this is big doings. It's a very difficult situation. I have had some contact with some people because they're all friends of mine. And I won't go into any more details than what the press is already reporting out loud. But I will say this, it's very, very serious. Apparently, AL.com reporting separately that he had to be resuscitated. 1819 News reports that State Senator Arthur Orr is the one who administered CPR until the EMTs got there. All the more difficult because they're in Korea. It's not like this happened while he was on a trip to Texas. He's in a foreign country. His family is on the way over there right now. His daughter posted online asking for prayers and that kind of thing, and said that the language barrier, of course, is making things difficult. And then State Senator Keith Kelly, who I texted with also this morning, asked for prayers for his colleague. So, yeah, and those of you in the listening area that live in the Florence area, you may know Tim Melson. He's a good dude. He's a real good dude. And I enjoyed serving with him for 4 years of my eight. And so prayers for Tim Melson. There's part of your home fries. That's a significant event right there. And all the more so because he's in a foreign country. How difficult is that? We'll keep our eyes on that, and I'd appreciate y'all's prayers. Here's another story, though, out of Yellowhammer News. Grayson Everett for Yellowhammer writes this piece that came out yesterday, 2 days ago. China-owned U.S. farmland about to dry up. Okay, I did not know this. I knew that China owns land. I mean, foreign countries and foreign corporations own land. They can. But did you know that Alabama has the third highest amount of foreign-owned land in the entire United States? I did not know that. Tommy Tuberville says, Alabama has the third highest amount of foreign-owned land in the United States, and we cannot let our enemies take control of the land that feeds our people. So here's the deal. Foreign investors like state-backed Chinese companies are now being seen as a potential threat to rural economics, meaning agribusiness and that kind of thing, and national security. And so an amendment to the 2024 NDAA, the National Defense the defense budget, put a target on the backs of four countries, China, Russia, North Korea, and Iran, to try and curtail their ability to buy up our farmland. And why would they? be buying up our farmland? Are they growing here because they don't have the capacity back home and shipping it out? Meanwhile, we can't benefit from, I don't know. There's also some speculation that they set up basing for intelligence gathering. Anyway, there's a bill that was also dropped in, not just the amendment to the NDAA, but another bill dropped in by Tuberville called the Farm Act. FARM is an acronym. It stands for Foreign Adversary Risk Management Act. And basically what it does is it tries to curtail this buy-up by foreign countries, those four countries. Anyway, the bill is all supported by our own senator, not just Tuberville, but Katie Britt, and it requires that there's be a review of investments by any foreign person or unaffiliated U.S. business in agriculture or biotech related to agriculture on foreign companies owning U.S. soil. Katie Britt says she's hearing it from farmers all around the state when she travels. All said and done, there's your news. Dadgum. There's some home fries for you. 383,935 acres of agricultural land in the U.S. is owned by China, and Alabama has the third highest of any. I did not know this. All right, you may have seen, by the way, talking about some home fries, things that are happening, but you may have seen a story about whether we're going to see a widening of I-65. When we get back from this break, I'll just tell you, there's an interesting dynamic ongoing right now, because currently the governor, Kay Ivey, and the lieutenant governor, Will Ainsworth, seem to be at odds. Kay Ivey's got a $1 billion project going right now in West Alabama called the West Alabama Corridor. And Will Ainsworth is like, why are we doing this? We should be spending time widening I-65 because it runs straight down the middle of the state and it's about commerce and tourism. And I'm not sure he's wrong. But in the meantime, West Alabama mayors are like, hang on, don't screw up our project. I'll tell you how that's going down. We're cooking up some home fries. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be Alabama. I'm talking about this show goes like way on down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi. All thrown in just for good measure. Hey, keep in mind, top of the hour, you're going to have Stephanie Smith from the Alabama Policy Institute on, and she has always got great commentary. We'll talk with her about maybe some things she sees in the home fries category and whether or not we're going to see any school choice happening in the coming legislative session based on what the governor recently said. Hey, before I go down that road, let me just tell you, though, in case you were paying attention, I hope you were, the ads that play during the breaks here on Right Side are part of how we sustain ourselves as a business, because a lot of folks may not realize Right Side Radio is a standalone business. We're not owned by the channels that we're on. We own the content. We make the show and we send it to them live every single day from our separate Right Side studios. That being said, just like any other business, one of the ways we survive with a revenue stream is to sell ads. And if you would like to have your business aligned with our vast audience across the northern half of the state, we'd love to have you on the team. And the way you do that is you don't call the station, you contact us. You go to our website, rightsideradio.org. That's rightsideradio.org. And you click on the advertising and contact tab, send us a message, and we will get back to you ASAP. We had one again from yesterday's show that we contacted today. And we'd love to get you in the hopper. If you want to advertise with Right Side Radio, we'd love to talk to you. RightSideRadio.org. Several text messages. See what I got here. Barry from Fultondale. Says, this is Barry. I read yesterday that Hunter's lawyer has tried to contact the judge's court personally, acting like the Republicans. Yeah, I got you. I see what you're saying here. Yes. And get them to return the information the House Oversight Committee didn't mean to send the paper. So what he's referring to there, thanks, Barry, is there was some conflict as to whether or not to Hunter Biden's team had contacted the clerk of the court, asking for documents that had been posted online that had been filed by Congress. Let me back up. Members of Congress filed an amicus brief, which is a friend of the court brief. We're not in the case, but we got something to say, right? So you file your amicus or amicus brief. And that brief contained information that was considered to be a part of the hearings that they wanted the court to be aware of, congressional hearings they wanted the court to be aware of. There is some concern that Biden's lawyers saw that and went, wait a minute, we don't want that out there in the public record, because court proceedings are typically public record. And they requested that it be taken under seal and not made a part of the public portion of the documents in the Biden case. The question was there an actual attempt to portray themselves as being Republicans and were saying, hey, sorry, we didn't mean to send you that, when it was really Biden's team saying it? Or was there a mistake on the part of the clerk? I've heard it both ways now, and so I don't know. But Barry, good point. That's part of the mystery. Metal Man Josh from Elkmont, he said, where's that corridor start to finish? I'm glad you asked that question. Let me jump on it. We're in Home Fries right now, number two. Are you cooking it? You going to cook it? Oh, yeah. Cooking up some home fries. Yeah, so Metal Man Josh from Elkmont. So here's a story from AL Daily News, Alabama Daily News. Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth, it says, took to social media Sunday to criticize the $800 million to $1 billion West Alabama corridor, calling it a misallocation of resources. So this thing runs from Thomasville through Tuscaloosa all the way up to the Shoals. So it's designed to provide a four-lane corridor along the western side of the state, where most of it is just two-lane. Ainsworth wrote that the frequent traffic congestion on I-65, which connects Mobile to Huntsville, frustrates drivers, hurts tourism, slows commerce. Meanwhile, ALDOT is spending $1 billion, he says, on a project with less than 1/20th of the traffic count. He says ALDOT needs a new plan, new priorities, and new leadership now. Another state senator, Chris Elliott, who's been on the show several times, he's critical of the project also. He said it provides a four-lane corridor from Thomasville to Tuscaloosa. He says since at least October of 22, he's been saying that investing in areas with shrinking populations like Thomasville, it doesn't make any sense. Okay, so there's two trains of thought here. Part of my district when I was in the state Senate included Cherokee County, up in the northeastern portion of the state. Cherokee County was one of the few counties in the state that had no four-lane access to an interstate. They're about to open it. When I was in the office, we got 10 miles of the 14-mile stretch done. There was only 14 miles of two-lane that would have connected Cherokee County to the interstate spur in Gadsden. And they were saying that it was so necessary for commerce, because when you're going to build a new plant, you want to know you've got quick and easy access to the, you know, shipping and receiving lanes. And if you're having to go two-lane all the time, It's a hazard. It also slows things down. It doesn't make your county as attractive to business. So I get it. I get West Alabama's piece on this. But I also get the fact that we currently have a corridor that is one of the major corridors in the entire Southeast United States, I-65, coming straight down the center of our state. It seems like you could widen I-65 and then spur out from that and do things. But he points out that, you know, is that the way it's going to go? So here's a follow-up story to it, and this is interesting. Cooking up the home fries here. Now the mayors in West Alabama want Will Ainsworth, Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth, to come down and have a meeting. In fact, they're trying to make it down home. Ain't nothing wrong here, Governor. Come on down, and we will cook up some biscuits and jam and Kaneka sausage. Actually says that. That's the mayor of Thomasville, Mayor Sheldon Day, emailed AL.com. In other words, apparently he reached out to Lieutenant Governor's office, but then he made sure that AL.com knew he had reached out to the Lieutenant Governor's office. That's not an invitation then, Mayor. That's a challenge. That's you just totally changed the tone. If you wanted to meet with a lieutenant governor as a mayor, he's your lieutenant governor. You could have done that. But no, you chose to go ahead and make this a public challenge so that you can try to then to have the press at your breakfast meeting and try to embarrass him in the eyes of West Alabama. Well, take caution, Will Ainsworth. The mayors in West Alabama know how to play the press, apparently. Alabama mayor asking Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth to visit his city and sit down over a breakfast, a homemade biscuits and jam, and Kaneka sausage. Now, I do like the food choices. And discuss his transportation vision. The invitation comes from longtime Thomasville Mayor Sheldon Day and said he would like the state's number two elected official and a top prospect for governor in 2026 to meet with the rural mayors and other public officials from the 10 to 12 counties that would be in that West Alabama corridor. Ainsworth has not responded to the request Day sent to his office. This is such a bait, a bait and switch here. Oh, it's just breakfast. We just want you to come to breakfast. Hey, press, we invited him to breakfast. We need you to be there. That's what's happening. He says, we've all heard Ainsworth's loud cry for I-65, but before he runs for governor, I'd like to personally invite him down to rural West Alabama and lay out his vision. Ainsworth in a tweet, and I said what I did before about how he believes that I-65 is the better priority. All right, I don't know, folks. Listen, the bottom line is this. It's $1 billion being spent in West Alabama when you have to question, yeah, 1/20th of the traffic flow, is that the best use of our money? Is that what will spur growth in West Alabama where they need growth? Or do we put all the growth back in the main corridor in the big four cities, Huntsville, and Birmingham, Montgomery, and Mobile are the chief beneficiaries along with those who are along the route. I don't know. Are we going to strangle West Alabama by doing this? I don't think so. I think there's a way to make this happen and do a little bit of both. But the reality is that's kind of a cheap shot, in my opinion, when you see a mayor going, well, I just invited him for biscuits and some Kaneka sausage now, y'all. That's all we did. Hey, press, I invited him for Kaneka sausage. Get it? That it changes from an invitation to a challenge. One other thing that we're going to talk about when we get back from the break is where Alabama's labor participation rate is. You're going to want to hear this. What is that, you say? We have good unemployment, don't we? Yeah, one of the best. However, we've also got a situation where we actually have fewer people even trying to work in Alabama right now. And then top of the hour, we'll be on the line with Stephanie Smith, from the Alabama Policy Institute, talking about how things are going with school choice and other conservative policy matters she sees coming down the pike. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we're back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, Chef Ben from Aniana, just texted in. He said, couldn't think of a better way to be in traffic listening to Right Side Radio. Appreciate you, brother. And by the way, I have had Chef Ben's cooking before, and it is mighty fine. Let me just tell you. There you go. So I feel this whole, we're going to have a gathering one day. And we're going to have, you know, all of our regulars are going to be there. And I think Chef Ben ought to be the one who does the cooking. What do you think? I think that could work.
Great idea.
I feel very strong about this.
I course, like it.
He may have to cook up some home fries.
Definite home fries.
Gotta have the home fries.
Gotta have them.
All right. Hey, listen, a couple things happening in your home fries category, things that are going on around your state, your backyard. What is happening around here? Well, one of them is that Trump's coming to town next week, if you did not know. The Alabama Republican Party has a dinner next Friday in Montgomery at the Renaissance Hotel, nearly sold out. If you want a ticket, you're going to have to get on it here pretty quick. The last time he was here in town, had a record-breaking Coleman rally in 2021 that drew 50,000 people. There won't be that many in this dinner, but it'll be huge. And I've had many an event at the Renaissance, huge ballroom down there. And next Friday night, reception at 6 p.m., dinner at 7. Tickets and sponsorships can be purchased on the Alabama Republican Party website, but I just found this news story on Yellowhammer, and they are just about sold out, which I would have expected them to already be sold out. Here's another one that I find to be interesting. So you guys know about NIL, right, in sports? Boomer, you've heard about NIL?
I mean, yes. I know a lot about NIL. It's pretty awesome. I mean, it's crazy.
It's way crazy.
It's way crazy.
Okay, let me ask you then. Do you approve of the idea of NIL? By the way, for those who don't know, NIL, name, image, and likeness. What it's basically saying is if you're a college athlete, which is, you know, for years has been like you only get paid when you're a pro. You don't get money. You have to avoid the improprieties of looking like you've been recruited with a monetary gain, except for a scholarship. And yet NIL happened in 2021 when the Supreme Court issued a ruling that said that, you know what? If you're going to hang posters and have jerseys and, you know, magazines with somebody's picture on it, they deserve to get paid, even if you're a college student. So suddenly, kids are making mega money.
Mega.
So your thoughts?
Mega money.
Your thoughts, Boom Shakalaka?
I don't know what you want me to say.
You like it or don't, first of all?
That's hard to say.
I don't.
I don't mind it.
You don't mind it?
I don't mind it.
You don't think it waters down the concept of the pureness or the purity of college sports?
I think it does, because now there's so many things that a college has to think about trying to recruit somebody to come to their school. I mean, they're not just looking at the sport anymore, which is kind of sad in itself. The kids aren't just looking at the sport. They're looking at the university saying, hey, I wonder how much money I can make with my NIL deal at this college versus this college, even though I may not be doing my best at this college. Well, it creates a whole new thing. And then on the whole other side of it, I could go on 4 hours on this. On the whole other side of this is now you're looking at all these athletes and where they used to do all these, camps and everything with younger generations.
Yeah.
You know, or camps or, I mean, anything. And now you're having to treat them like, I don't know. So I'm indifferent on it. I think it's cool, but there's still a lot that they're going to have to figure out. I mean, nationwide, well, because
and therein lies my point in bringing this up.
I mean, I look at it and man, wish I had an NIL back in the day.
I'm sure you do. You and your sweet wife both. But yeah, I mean, I look at it. Part of it just feels like it destroys the sanctity of the voluntary aspect of college sports. I mean, you're there because of the passion for the sport, and you know, maybe a scholarship and the notoriety of being on the team. You want to play for Coach Saban, or you want to, you know, whatever. What happens if University of Oregon, who has Nike always giving them a new uniform every week, and you find out that they're actually saying, hey, kid, if you come to our school, you'll get more money from Nike.
I mean, it's changing everything. I mean, you would go to a school because your payment was getting the ride to school.
Right.
Hey, I'm going to play for, let's just take University of Alabama, and I got a scholarship.
Yeah.
That's huge. Now it's like, I'm going there, but let's see. I'm going to get all these deals because Alabama has all these NIL sponsors now that I know I'm going to get something from here.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm just throwing Alabama out there just because that's who I love. So,
gone are the days, it seems like, when boosters had to stay out of the way because they couldn't possibly be seen as giving money to some of these kids. Otherwise, you can wind up, you know, losing your eligibility. You could wind up, having to void a championship season because boosters were – and that's happened. We have history on that. And now, all of a sudden, money's flowing – and you have to wonder where it's all coming from, and was it something that would have been preventable before?
Right. I mean, it's just a whole new game now. I mean, for everybody, for the coaches, for the universities, for the kids.
I have in my hot little hands a story from Alabama Daily News. So Tuberville, U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville, who, over 20 years coaching at the college level, right? And I did not realize that Senator Joe Manchin, Democrat, had played football at University of West Virginia. Anyway, the two of them have now come up with a piece of legislation that is designed to sort of, because right now NIL is not regulated and there's not uniformity And so they've come up with a bill. They're calling it the PASS Act. I forget what PASS stands for. But basically what it does is it creates what they call a national standard for NIL that protects student athletes, maintains fair compensation and competition, strengthens transparency, preserves the time-honored tradition of college sports. So what they're basically saying is, look, we got to get a handle on this. It's out of control. It's like the Wild West on NIL right now. And where does it end? And they're requiring certain things like, you know, NIL would only inducements, you could prohibit NIL inducements. You couldn't have the NIL until they were already in the program. In other words, you can't say, if you'll come here, we've got NIL stuff for you. It also would say that you have to be, you have to maintain academic eligibility. In other words, you can't get $1 million and flunk out all your courses. And then at the same time, you've also got to maintain like 3 years in the program if you're going to receive NIL. So, I mean, I just look at it and think, I mean, it's a start. I don't know if this is the one, but I think it's interesting. I knew that Coach Tuberville, somehow his background would come into play in his, and here he is.
I mean, I'm interested in it. I just, it created a whole new ball game in the
pun.
College world. At first, I remember just a few years ago before it came out and them talking about it, and it's pretty crazy. I mean, just being an athlete and knowing all my friends were athletes and stuff, and just knowing where they're coming from, and now they're making, right when they get into college or right even before, or before they even step foot on a field, how much they're making.
Now, you've got family members who coach at the Division I level.
Yep.
But in gymnastics, which is not going to be like a huge NIL, but who knows?
It
but
is.
Are they seeing it? Are they seeing it?
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, even it's in every sport. It's not just you're not just looking at football. You're looking at any sport from baseball, softball, football, basketball to, I mean,
gymnastics too.
Gymnastics, swimming. I mean, all of them are looking at all things because you're not just looking at, you know, the Nikes or the Adidas or anything like that. You're looking at any type of company that wants to sponsor any of these kids and get their name out there, but also pay them to promote their items. So it could be anything. It's not limited to the giant football players. It's everywhere.
Wow. All right. Well, we'll see what Coach Tuberville and Senator Manchin come up with. In the meantime, the music is playing. We'll come right back after the break. Stephanie Smith, president of the Alabama Policy Institute, will be on with us. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Ruffian.